This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow us along on TV. Every Friday, we're joined by best-selling author, Washington Post columnist John Feinstein, and he's brought to you by Golfdom. Their only location's in Tysons. You can visit them today to experience the best that golf has to offer. Golfdom, live the game.
John?
Morning, fellas.
Hello, morning. John.
John, can I ask you a quick question? So I know you talked about this the other day. I finally got around to seeing The Post. I love that movie. I love All the President's Men, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Here's the one thing that jumped out at me, and you even reference this, so I'm sorry if I've always thought that Katharine Graham was this sort of stately, everyone just had so much respect for her, blah, 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 and I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
But in the movie, they portrayed her as like so out of her league. Was that unfair, or was that accurate?
Well, no, I think they were making the point that she was, you know, remember, this is 1971, and they were making the point that she was very much a woman in a man's world. That
right.
They, you know, the feeling was that the only reason she was the publisher was because her husband had killed himself, and that she needed men to guide her to make tough decisions. And what the movie shows is that in the end, she made the toughest decision of all. And it's funny because I sent Don Graham, her son, a note, who succeeded her as publisher, after I saw the movie, to tell him how much I liked it and how amazing I thought Meryl Streep was in capturing his mother. And he wrote me back and he said that his mom had told him that that day was the toughest day of her career as publisher. Not any of the stuff, you know, during Watergate, but that decision at that time to go ahead and publish when she literally could have been dragged off to jail,
right?
Depending on what the courts had said. So, so that's what I think they were trying to tell you. My personal experience, because I did deal with her some, not a lot, but some, that she was a very smart and very funny woman. And I'll give you one quick example. When I was a summer intern, she used to have lunches in her dining room for the interns. You know, we'd come up like 7-8 at a time, and she'd have lunch and, you know, try to get to know us, because she did that with the newsroom. So we're at lunch, and she says, look, I'd like to ask each of you to tell me how you think we can make the paper better. I'd like to hear from fresh eyes what we can do to make the paper better. And, of course, there's dead silence. No one's going to tell Katharine Graham how to run her paper. And remember, this is right after Watergate. And she says, come on, folks. Don't be intimidated by me. Tell me what you think. We're just a bunch of people sitting around having lunch. So finally I spoke up and I said, you know, Mrs. Graham, I think it would be great if we could push the city edition deadline, which is the main deadline. The paper you get at your house in the morning is the city edition. So we can get our real stories on games into the paper, because in those days you would write what was called a running story during the game, and you'd file it as soon as the game was over and then go get quotes and rewrite. And the running stories were the ones getting into the city edition. They were meaningless. And I said, you know, it just seems like the paper is so successful right now. There's no reason not to do that, even if it costs a few extra dollars. She looked at me and she said, John, you need to be more intimidated.
Keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, as in, don't tell me how to run my paper.
Right. All right. Well, I love the movie. I really enjoyed it. I love all that stuff. But I don't want to bore the other
guys. I thought, even aside from the journalism aspect, which, of course, was important to me, it felt like a thriller watching it.
I agree. Right up my alley.
Yeah, it was terrific.
All right, so yesterday, big story.
How much of Tiger did you watch? That's the big one.
I'm going to guess none.
You guess right. You win the prize. And it wasn't because, like I said, I'm not going to watch. I would never do that.
You were busy.
I was just really busy yesterday. I was all over the place. I, You know, I have Jane in the afternoons because Chris is at school, and so I had a lot to do. At one point I checked in to see how he was doing, and it was at the turn when he was one over. You know, I'll watch Saturday and Sunday because I do a golf radio show Saturday night and Sunday night, so I have to be prepared regardless of who's on the leaderboard or not on the leaderboard. But I was just busy yesterday.
Hopefully he is. It just makes the weekend that more interesting.
For you, not so much for me.
Yeah, not for you.
I'm a lot more interested right now in the fact that Rory McIlroy finished T3 last Sunday and shot 65 yesterday. I think ultimately for golf fans, that's a bigger story because I think Rory might be in a position to have a big year this year. And you know I'd love that because I like him so much.
Do you respect – I have no idea, and you have opinions on everybody. So if I'm stepping into a can of worms here, I apologize. I have no idea the background, but you have so many things going. Do you respect Jaime Diaz as a golf reporter?
Jaime Diaz, very much. I worked with Jaime both at Golf World and Golf Digest. Consider him a friend. We usually go to dinner at all the majors.
Okay. He said yesterday on the Golf Channel that he thinks this version of Tiger either can be or will be great again.
Well, isn't everybody saying that on the Golf Channel?
I mean, that was
what I got during the Bahamas event. That, you know, they're all saying now he looks healthier than he's looked, and he may very well be. And they're so good, you know, if they finally got the surgery right. I don't know what the definition is of great. He's 42 years old. He's an old 42 because of all the surgeries. The question for me is not everybody. Brandel Chamblee posted something yesterday showing his swing on the ninth tee when he hit a great drive, and he had all this thrust and all this stuff that I don't understand going on. The key for Tiger is not his ability to hit the ball, how long, far he can hit the ball. Length is not as important in golf as you might think it is. Is it an advantage? Yes. But there are lots of guys who don't hit it that far who are excellent players. But the key is, can you putt? Mm-hmm. And in the last few years that he was healthy, before all the injuries began in 2014, when he got in the hunt at majors, which he did on several occasions, he couldn't putt. He couldn't make the putts he always made when he dominated the game. Ultimately, if he gets to the point where he can stay healthy for an entire year, that's going to be the big question. Can he make the putts that he once made or come close to making the putts that he once made? Because in the old days, he never missed.
Yeah, well, he's got to hit it a little closer. So yesterday's irons were off. It's just one day.
His lag putting was really
good. Lag putting was great. See, I think you should watch, John. But
lag putting is a lot easier than making putts.
Correct, but I think
he'll say that for the rest.
I
understand
him.
His bogey on the back nine, he missed like a 3-footer.
Yes.
Well, he did. All right, but everybody missed. Jordan Spieth misses those.
By the way, yes, you're right. By the way, though, one of the great Tiger stats that people never talk about is I think it was in, I can't remember which year, 2005 maybe or 2007, something like that. He had 485 putts during the year from 5 feet in. Mm. Now, some of them are tap-ins, but some of them are tricky little 3-, 4-, 5-footers.
For sure.
How many did he miss?
Out of the 485? I'm going to say...
Out of the 485.
It's got to be a very low number. I'll say one.
You're very, very close. It was zero.
Wow.
That's impossible.
Right. Yeah.
Most guys will tell you miss one putt from 5 feet in a week, it's been a great week.
Right.
He did it for a year.
Right.
That's how good he was.
Yeah, nobody could ever approach that level of domination. I don't think we'll ever see it in our lifetime, certainly.
I don't think we will either.
Right. Agreed. But here's where I would differ from you, and Jaime Diaz actually said the exact opposite of what you said also. I don't think he's necessarily an old 42. Jaime actually said he's a young 42 because he had all those years off. And if you look at the swing speed, that's not an old 42, a guy whose club head's getting through there at 120 miles an hour.
Well, let's see what his swing speed is, which, again, it's one of those stats I don't really get. But what it is after he plays in 7 events or 8 events or 10 events. You know, people were talking yesterday about, well, he was rusty. He was also rested. I mean, that part, he's rested now, but because he's played so little the last couple of years, and he had plenty of time to prep for this and all that, just as he played like 10 practice rounds in the Bahamas before that event. See how it wears on him to actually play 2 weeks in a row or 3 weeks out of 4 or something like that. And the other thing is, your body feels a lot more when you're under real pressure. This isn't real pressure. There's no real pressure until the Masters. There's pressure. There's always pressure. Mm-hmm. But the real pressure comes, especially when you're Tiger Woods, when you tee it up in a major.
Right, I just thought it was interesting when his pre-first round comments on Wednesday, when he was asked about what his expectations were.
They're muted.
Very muted. And in tournaments in the past, like the Hero, I think he came out and said, I'm out here to win. I want to win.
Well, he always says that.
I know, but he didn't say that for this one.
Well,
he said he was very muted. He said, "I'm just gearing up for April in the Masters,"
which is you know what that is. That it's good you noted that, Jason. Write it down because that's an honest answer.
Yeah,
yeah, I know.
Is that a rarity?
Which we don't get very many of.
Well, you know what else he did?
Usually comes out there and says, "I'm out here to win," even though he had no shot.
And I don't think he was doing this for PR. I can't remember. I mean, I've been studying this guy since he was 15 years old.
I saw your tweet about you've never seen him sign autographs.
Yep,
I have. And you know, like when he came to Washington, was it 14, yep, coming back,
yep,
and he missed the cut, and he actually, on the way into the locker room, signed autographs for 15, 20 minutes or something like that. And I remember saying to Glenn Greenspan, his PR guy, you know what I'd really like to see? I'd like to see him sign some autographs with no cameras around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then I'd be impressed. Yeah. But
cameras follow
I don't want
him.
To say he's mellowed. I hate that term. I think it's a BS term. But I think he's become more aware that he can't be the bully anymore. People aren't going to accept that from him because he hasn't accomplished anything for a while. So he's trying to be a little bit of a kinder, gentler guy. And I will say this, I do think he has evolved to the point where he now cares what the other players think of him.
Yes.
Because, you know, his father raised him that everybody's your opponent, you don't make friends with anyone. And Phil Mickelson said this to me, and I quoted him on it in the first major, not to give the book a plug, but why not, mm-hmm, Phil Mickelson believes that once Earl died, Tiger began to change because he didn't have Earl looking over his shoulder constantly saying, "What are you doing talking to that guy? What are you doing being friendly with anybody? They're the enemy. They're the, you know, during the Ryder Cup week, you stay away because the week after that, they're your opponents again." That's changed. And I think that's genuine.
Yeah, maybe what are you doing hanging out with that porn star? What are you doing hanging out with that stripper?
He might like that. Hey, I got so many comments on that, but I want to switch it, not make it all about Tiger. I am a huge Wizards fan, and I'm becoming very much disenchanted with these guys. There is a real issue on this team. We're tweeting and retweeting all of these plays where there's just absolutely no effort on at every level of the play. Scottie Brooks, I'm just theorizing here, he must hate this team. I cannot imagine coaching these guys. Something's seriously wrong. Looks like Gortat's a mole, talks to the media, is trashing everybody. We got Bradley Beal's wife trashing him and social media, then deleting tweets. This team is imploding.
Yeah, it's not a pretty place to be if you're the Wizards. And, you know, again, go back to the beginning of the season. What did I say? Shut up and play. Mm-hmm. And they've done everything but shut up and play. And again, I saw a quote from Wall this morning where he said something about, you know, people are criticizing me, you know, they're upset because I'm not averaging 20 and 10. Don't worry, by the end of the season, I'll be averaging 20 and 10. Who the hell cares if he averages 20 and 10?
Nobody.
Nobody cares about that except maybe Wall. People just want to see him and them win some games.
Right.
And, when you know, it's not like they're terrible, but they're not as good as I think a lot of people expected them to be. Clearly, I don't care what anybody says, there's a chemistry issue in that locker room, whether it's Gortat or whether it's Beal and Wall not getting along.
Yep.
And one more thing, and I feel this like almost every morning. We have in this town a lot of media enablers, and I don't count you guys among it because what you guys do is different. Mm-hmm. But I pick up the Post every morning, and I love working for the Post. You know how proud I am to have been a small part of the Post for all these years. But I see a headline after the Caps lose a game, Rusty Caps. You know, because they had 5 days off. Everybody has long layoffs the way the hockey schedule is nowadays. And by the way, they lost the game in overtime. They weren't rusty in after 60 minutes of playing. Every game it's the Terrapins and their injuries. They're banged up. But other teams have injuries. And you play on. And I think Mark Turgeon would tell you, you got to play on. And, you know, there's always excuses made for Snyder's team. I mean, sometimes I think that Washington's the only city in America where people have injuries. And the media in this town needs to stop making excuses for the Wizards. They're just not as good, right now at least, everybody thinks they were going to be or wants them to be. And, you know, the Cavaliers have similar problems. The difference is the Cavaliers have been to three straight finals and
they've earned
and won a title.
Right. Yeah. We talked about, sadly, they may have peaked. Last season might have been the peak for the Wizards.
It's, you know what? One of the best lines I ever heard from an athlete was Tom Kite years ago said to me, "You never, when you win your last golf tournament, you have no idea it's your last golf tournament because
right.
you're playing great.
Right.
And you just assume you're going to keep winning. The
right.
end comes for everybody. And whether that was the peak for this team or not, who knows? Maybe they get the playoffs are all that matter, and they'll be in the playoffs. Maybe mm-hmm. they'll get their act together in the playoffs.
The problem is, it's not talent, it's effort, it's desire, it's killer instinct. That's what's lacking.
Yeah. But the talent isn't as good as people have made it out to be.
Yeah, but
you know, what basketball people will tell you in the NBA now, mm-hmm. you need at least three legitimate stars mm-hmm. if you're going to contend. They've got two,
mm-hmm.
you know, they don't, and Porter's not a star. He's a good player, but he's not, I mean, a star.
Agreed.
Like a guy who might someday end up in the Hall of Fame. Now, I'm not sure they have any of those, but they have guys who are, those two guys are at a high level. And that's the other thing. Why was everybody so obsessed with whether they made the All-Star team or not? It's, who cares?
It is dumb.
Yeah, I mean, it should be two paragraphs, one for Beal, one for Wall. It was the lead story in the Post. Beal, Wall, make All-Star team. Who cares? Win a game.
Right.
No, I happen to agree with
you. We'll see. They play Atlanta, bad team this weekend on the road.
That's a team they should beat, but of course
they
struggled with bad teams.
Yeah, they lost to them earlier in the year.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. All right, thank you, John.
All right, fellas, have a good weekend. Let me know next week how Tiger did.
All right.
We will. I'm sure we will.
See ya.
All right, see ya. Yeah.
Might only have to watch him for one more day. You never know.
Randall Chamblee, who's actually been remarkably bullish on him, gave him 70-30 to make this cut.
How am I wrong? I said might. I don't know. I didn't take a stand.
Oh, I thought you said hopefully.
You said hopefully.
No. I said might only have to watch him one more day.
Yeah, but the insinuation
No, but you said only have to
watch him. He was kind of gleeful when he said
you emphasized the word have. You said have to watch.
Yeah, so you were saying it.
Yeah.
It
had a negative connotation, which I understand.
No way, you're not.
I get it. I didn't take a stand. I don't know. He's an 84th. Does that make the cut?
The guy last year.
Does that make the cut?
No.
It doesn't matter. John Rahm won the tournament, shot the same number in the first round.
I understand that.
You know what's irrelevant?
I understand that. No, it's not irrelevant.
That's
an outlier. Much like, okay.
I don't think it is.
Okay, the Patriots came back down 25 in the Super Bowl.
Right.
That doesn't happen often.
Okay, but you don't know what you're talking about in this event because I think three of the last four winners or something shot even par or worse in the first round.
So you think he makes the cut?
He's rusty. I think he has a decent chance.
I'm going to say yes.
I gave you the 70-30. I'm going with Chamblee. 70-30.
Okay. He may make the cut. He may not.
If he shoots even par today.
But you know what?
Hold on. If he shoots even par today, he will not make the cut. He's got to shoot under par.
I think he'll shoot under par, I think.
But.
And have a chance.
I mean, but I don't see him going out and shooting 77, 78. I think he'll be right around.
Guys are awful sensitive. Yeah. When I just said that, he may make the cut.
Because here's the thing.
You're just bitter. Earlier in the show, I was silent joning, apparently.
You were.
It's
a new one.
Is that not true? He smirks.
It was
you not,
silent.
Not notice it? When we start getting into Tiger, he goes like this.
Silent.
He looks around.
Lack of interest.
That's
what
I do when you do the UFC.
You want to see the JP impression when there's Tiger talk?
Yeah.
Looking down at his phone.
All right, well, that's Bickle from 90% of the guests.
I know.
I mean, come on.
Well, here's the secret.
I'm
not killing him.
And that's my computer screen, by the way. Everybody else has a laptop that can stare at it.
When Eric says
during the Tiger
he
talk,
wants JP to be included
laptop.
In the discussion, I don't need that. Believe me.
I actually don't really care if he's included in it. Good. I just want him to know. I don't care. That I see the smirking.
Well, then you're silent joning on 90% of the show. When we talk other NFL stories that aren't Redskins related,
I guess
you're silent joning.
No, the smirk.
I was smirking because I was laughing at the Bradley Beal story because, like you have a computer where you look at stories,
you know
I was looking at the stupid five
at CSN.
Things.
Go back to the tape. They have it.
Uh-huh.
Go back to the tape. Doug at CSN.
It's NBC Sports Watch.
Whatever. Who cares? It's the same
you think
thing.
They like that?
Hey.
It's written everywhere. They can see.
Just relax
Doug
over there.
At NBC Sports Washington.
Dougie.
Okay.
Right. Dougie Fresh.
Doug. I would have branded it a different name, but this is what
they didn't consult
this
with
is
you.
What they've decided. They didn't consult with me. It's a little wordy. Be honest. All right. Doug at NBC Sports Washington. Go back to the tape, the beginning of the segment, before JP's knee-deep in his phone and his Bradley Beal defense smirk.
We need facial
You will see him smirking, and he's responding to our Tiger conversation.
Smirk, Cam!
Yes.
Probably. So I'm not allowed to listen and smirk?
Now, I will also.
When we talk Tiger.
Am I not allowed to listen?
You're allowed
smirk,
to.
At least I was listening.
I can't ever talk on the show.
Everyone interrupts everybody.
Ever.
I'm interrupted more than anybody.
Literally ever.
No. I'm interrupted more than anyone.
When we talk golf. For the rest of our careers,
yeah.
Let's just make it me and you.
Oh, I'm fine with that.
I know
that's
you
fine.
Are. Because you and I,
well, you guys talk.
Because you and I are the only ones who care.
You
want to
do
a
golf podcast?
Quit joning silently.
The next time you guys start talking golf, get knee deep in Tiger, a washed up former superstar, I'll go to Starbucks.
Hey, you know what?
I'll get a big cup of coffee.
You, at least I give you some props because you entered the golf pool.
Well, yeah, I
like
keep up
that.
With
but that's gambling.
Yes, gambling.
That's
related.
Fine, but he at least has that much interest
in it.
It
feeds the monster.
But
he's
when
in
we
the
actually,
Euro Soccer Fantasy League,
when
too.
We're talking golf,
yeah.
All right, and talking Tiger, it's me and you, buddy.
That's right. Fine. Hey, I'm fine with that arrangement.
I know you are.
I know we got a break. It's okay. We've been doing it for 22 years.
Sometimes
we go long on breaks.
They're about to have strokes over there.
Yeah, it's
way,
okay, guys.
Here's Bickle when Gary Daniels is on.
And you smirk, too.
Jay Billis.
Right. Or, but I'm going to tell you a secret.
Who else? Tim Bontemps.
But can I tell you a secret?
Chris Rose.
Right.
Part of the reason why.
Definitely Chris Rose.
Part of the reason why I don't ask a question. I know we'll go to break. Is because if I've checked out on any, I don't want to re-ask the same question. So then I go.
You don't want to spare that embarrassment.
Yeah, that has been done. Yeah.
Well, you know how you resolve that?
Times.
You know how you resolve that?
Just listen from the beginning.
Don't check out.
I can't. I have ADD. Somebody buy me. Give me some Adderall.
My buddy's got a boatload of it.
Break some in.
All right, we'll be right back. I know we have the entertainment page lined up. We'll do whatever you want next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Jason gets really upset when AWOD comes in and puts the feed from NBC Sports Washington on
right.
there because Jason doesn't like to watch us
it's too distracting.
Live on the cameras. It's distracting.
Yeah.
Let me just say, Smirkgate is such a stretch. Even Doug, who's having to go through video, says
yes.
There's not much there. And I believe he said it multiple times to Drab.
Right.
But, EB, you can go through the video if you really want to.
Yeah.
And what made me smirk...
Did you look at it?
No.
All right.
We haven't seen it yet.
But here's the deal. The camera is on the people who are talking. The camera's generally on the people.
Right.
So the camera's on Jason.
Did Doug
the camera's
say
on
he has
you.
It? Did Doug
he said there's not much there. Oh. It's a stretch.
All right. Can we'll
not a stretch.
And I will tell you what made me smirk.
You.
And I've forgotten.
You my whole life.
I've forgotten what made me smirk. I'm telling you.
All right. Check
was
out it.
The girlfriend of Bradley Beal, Bradley Beal's girlfriend's former rapper's name, which I can't remember.
All right, so we're watching. This is not good radio.
That was silent.
Is there any way you can play the audio at the
that's
same time?
I said, there's not much there.
Well, all right, now they have to. Okay, because they just don't have the camera on you.
They have the camera.
So it's not,
the
it doesn't mean that you didn't do it. Believe me, I know you my whole life. There's no
one. Everybody in there says,
hold on.
Attest to this.
Are you going to dispute that when he and I really get into Tiger talk or golf talk at all, and we emphasize how much we enjoy it, like
right,
watching
right, right,
it,
right.
Are you going to tell me you kind of just don't laugh to yourself, go,
you
I can't believe that these guys like
this? No,
not to yourself. Like an open smirk that you can tell.
But that's still kind of laughing to yourself.
I may not do it outwardly, but I definitely think that. I'm like, I can't believe,
I know.
Like, all the obsession with Tiger Woods.
Are you going to dispute that?
Look, I understand the obsession with him when he was dominant. I don't understand it.
Well, this is
10
why.
Years removed.
Can I tell you why?
The only thing I'll say to distinguish is oftentimes I set up the conversation and hand the ball to you guys.
Right.
I know, but you
and you should.
He did the same thing. He said before Feinstein came on during the break, he said with a smirk, actually with a laugh, he said, are you going to ask him about Tiger?
Well, of course.
It's the same thing.
I'm telling
we
you.
We love golf.
I know JP
right.
better than I know anyone
you.
In the world. I know him for 45 of my almost 48 years.
Golf.
There's literally nobody I know better. he smirks when we bring up Tiger. He just does.
It's his default.
I'm with JP on this one.
Oh, who cares what you're in on?
Well, you're just it's a mystery. It's a total mystery.
You can't see. Your back
is to him. I know what he's laughing at. He can't say it on the show because it's inappropriate. But what he totally came back here and said, what he was smirking at.
No, listen.
It's funny.
Hold on.
Funny.
Wait a second.
Because he claims he was smirking at the tweet or whatever.
Yeah, yes. I know he's smirking at Brad Beal stuff and the family and the girlfriend.
Maybe it's a secondary smirk.
I know that, too. But
there's
he's
a second smirker.
Second smirker right there.
He's a smirker. He is a smirker. He's a smirker.
How's it any different than when Jason punches out and he does this little thing with his fingers and says, point at you guys? Same thing.
Yeah.
That's when we have soccer guests or sometimes hockey.
Right.
This means you got it.
Hockey boy has entered the picture.
Yeah. You're a little more
into the puck now.
Yeah, because gambling's involved.
Let me just ask you this.
Yes, sir.
So what type of behavior would you have liked during the Tiger Woods discussion?
I'll be honest with you, I don't give a crap.
No, let me hear it. Let me hear what should I have done? Because I sometimes comment. You don't want me to comment negatively.
No, you can comment whatever you want.
I sometimes participate.
I
was listening.
I guess I resent the smirk. That's all.
I didn't miss anything that you guys said.
Of course you didn't. It's just I do think you miss more than you think, but it doesn't matter. I resent the smirk because it's
I didn't miss anything. He almost aced 16. I mean,
right,
I didn't miss anything.
So, and here's the thing. I want to answer Cakes' question.
Yeah.
Okay? Because me and JP arguing is relentless. No one will give.
What was the question? That's a waste of time. What was the question?
So here's the thing I want to answer to Cakes.
Yeah.
Okay? Cakes doesn't understand the fascination with a guy who everyone in the world agrees his peak was 10 years ago. He hadn't won a major in 10 years.
Right.
Fair point. It's an excellent point. Yeah, now, can I answer it?
Sure.
Because we all want that to come back. We're rooting for that chance to come back.
You're grasping.
Well, hold on.
Grasping. But let me tell you this.
It's like me going to the MGM and grasping at the Lucky
but
Table
here's the thing.
Promotion.
Here's the thing.
Same thing.
Here's the thing. If anybody in the world can pull this off, this guy can. If it was anybody else, I'd say you're wasting your breath. You know, it's just not going to happen.
I know, but Bickle, right. it's a very small percentage of people who are interested in seeing him try to come back.
Well,
it's a very small percentage.
Here's the thing. The thing that's tough
You
with
and I
Tiger,
are in that percentage.
The thing that's tough with Tiger.
It's a very small pool.
The thing that's tough is that he's such a douche. And that's universal. 100% of the people, except for Noda Begay, thinks he's an awful human. Myself included.
Yeah, so people who don't know him.
So he's not likable. I get it. So, and then also people don't like that he cheated on his wife and that he treats people. I get it. I don't like any of that stuff either. But his greatness overshadows it for me.
The same thing to his wife.
Hey, right.
Again,
right.
If you want to see greatness, you should be rooting for Tom Brady next week.
Greatness.
Yeah, that's weird.
You're right.
But that's another smirk.
That's weird.
That's not a smirk. It's just a point.
For some reason, I root against him. Although I was rooting for him to get to the Super Bowl.
I'll tell you something. I thought I was going to root for Philly because, listen, I told you it was the worst Super Bowl ever. Because two evil empires. I don't know who to root for.
But I thought
I'd root for the underdog. But so many people are picking Philly. And it is effing Philly, and I hate them. That I'm actually thinking, I'm switching before the game. I might actually root for New England.
Really?
That's the right side. Come on over. The water's warm.
I might actually. Believe me, it's a horrible game.
Or just come to my waste management party. No smirking allowed.
By the way, going back a second.
You're allowed to smirk.
You can't come. You can't label Philly an empire.
No, JP.
They never won a Super Bowl.
Not invited.
They're not anywhere close to an empire.
Right.
In my opinion.
I also think this. And I'm going to say this to John.
It's true.
We got to stop asking John his take on Tiger rounds. He doesn't watch them. That's a huge waste of time.
You're the one that asked him.
Right.
And you knew the answer
right.
before you asked him.
Right.
No, I didn't know the answer.
No.
Eric asked the first question.
No, I said, I'm guessing you didn't.
Right.
Okay, and that's all I wanted to hear.
But then he says,
what Tiger needs to do now is this. You haven't watched him in 2 years.
But he's going to watch him this weekend, hopefully. Hopefully.
No, he's not going to watch
again, you're grasping.
No, he said he was because he does the golf show.
Now, if I said that, which I did, I get killed.
You should get killed anyway.
Believe me, all of my joning on you is 100% justified.
Oh, you're asking for A-Wad to come in?
Yeah, I want him to turn the TV off.
Oh, okay.
Jason is so self-conscious.
Turn that off. I don't care what they say at NBC Sports Washington.
No, they don't
turn
care
off.
If it's on.
At least you got the name of the network right.
You remember the name of the network? You
nailed I almost it. Botched it.
Well, you remember I'm going to be honest.
I almost
it's only
botched it.
Painted around
I didn't mean turn
room.
The TV off. I meant turn the channel.
He's
you're
so
such a
dumb. His IQ is like below
it's fine. I'll do
sea
it.
Level.
I'll do it.
The problem with NBC Sports Washington, and I love being on that station.
Yes, we all do.
I mean, it's a great platform for us. It really is. Even though they pay us truly like pistachios. Like we get paid nothing. But
pistachios.
But see, when you say something a little offbeat, it's funny.
It is.
Yeah, but
funny.
I've never heard it. Hold on, I've never heard it pronounced pistachios.
How do you pronounce it? Pistachios.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why I laughed. It wasn't because it was funny. So,
I like your take on it better.
My favorite guard, Steve Nash.
Quit smirking over there.
The problem with NBC Sports Washington, which I love, is it's too wordy.
What would you have renamed it? They went
Comcast.
Through a lot of different
CSN.
CSN.
HTS.
Or yeah. NSW.
NSW? Not safe for work? What does NSW stand for?
NBC Sports Washington.
How about NBC? How about NBCSW?
It's a little wordy. That's like CTVDW, TTV, whatever that is.
You'll get used to it. It's fine.
You don't think it's a little wordy?
I just know that it's painted around the room.
Can you guys do me a favor? I'm asking the three of you because you have like a billion Twitter followers.
Well, you want to tweet your podcast?
We got the podcast up at 10 a.m. Big Fat Winners. Just tweet out that we got a new episode out, please.
Right.
And Skippy tells a really good story, funny story about a kitten and another kitten.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's pretty
like
funny.
A real kitten?
It's a real kitten and then
a different kind of kitten.
Yeah. It's funny. It's actually funny. If you believe the story, it's freaking funny.
Right.
But at 10 a.m. it drops, so please tweet that out.
Here's the review. Can I give you the honest review I heard on the show?
Yeah.
Which, the radio or TV?
No, the podcast. The Big Fat Winners.
Oh, here's the legit review I heard on it.
Right.
The guys are butt funny.
Yeah.
But the audio is so poop.
Is it?
Still? You guys have tech difficulties?
That's what I heard.
Well, look, I just show up, do the show. Someone else produces it. I don't have any control over
it. He did do the show from Bonefish, a busy Bonefish grill.
No. That hasn't been
released
yet.
Oh, okay. The audio's going to get worse today.
Most of them, I'm in my basement.
Yeah.
I heard that it was good.
Oh, maybe it is
audio was good.
It could be like Feinstein commenting on Tiger's Round before you. It could be like from a
maybe
six
he only
ago.
Heard one show in
maybe
that particular show.
Maybe he heard the poop ones when the guy from Baltimore was doing it.
By the way, did you know
those were terrible.
Did you notice?
Yeah.
Jason, did you notice when he said that he was smirking?
Yeah, I know. He, believe me, he relishes other people's
I'm not suggesting
despair.
You shouldn't smirk. You could smirk all you want. I'm just saying I noticed it. That's all.
Silent joning is a new one. I'll apologize for silently joning.
No, it's called passive aggressive. It's your passive aggressive way to nuke the segment. But it's fine.
It's actually quite the opposite. How am I nuking a segment by letting you guys go?
Well, it's just by feigning it, by showing that you're not interested. You're trying
to
kill it.
You're wrong here.
No, by trying.
How am I trying to kill a segment by letting you guys go on something you're passionate about?
Yeah, I think it's because you're
not 100% wrong.
No, it's not. I'll explain it. Because the way a conversation lasts is when everyone participates.
Okay, or to let the guys who have passion discuss about
it. Doesn't matter.
You and I.
I told you, argue with him.
We can talk 4 hours of Tiger.
What?
We can talk 4 hours of Tiger.
Let's do a golf.
Why do you need this donkey and this dummy to talk Tiger?
I just wanted him to know. I know it's very obvious what he's doing.
You're wrong, though.
No, you're
100% wrong. Couldn't be more wrong. All right, John Arand joins us next. We'll talk about the XFL's return and what it means.
So salty right now.
Media reporter for the Sports Business Journal. He actually interviewed Vince McMahon about the XFL. Always forget. He's not a DeMatha guy. Is he a Gonzaga guy?
Gonzaga.
Yeah. Well, let's let him have some time to brag. Hasn't he a Gonzaga pounding DeMatha?
He's a Purple Eagle.
They beat us one
time. We got a match coming up, a game coming up in a couple of weeks as a rubber game.
Yeah.
They're very good. Look, it's
the best conference in the country.
Yeah, I mean, it's at that point now where they're like five or six just titans.
At one point, John, in the National High School Basketball Rankings, Gonzaga, Paul VI, and DeMatha were all ranked in the top, I think, 10. maybe 13.
You know what? I went to the Gonzaga St. John's game on Sunday, and it's like $5 for better basketball than you see in College Park right now. I mean, they run it well. They're doing alley oops. They're playing above the rim. I mean, it's just incredible basketball.
Yeah, it is.
Hmm. Anyway, you had to sit down with Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon, of course, announced yesterday that he's bringing the XFL back in 2020. A lot of people here said that the press conference, first of all, was lackluster. What was your impression overall of the announcement?
It was lackluster because he doesn't have a lot of firm plans yet. He knows he's going to launch a league, and he knows that the league is going to be in 10 cities. And, you know, he doesn't basically know what the rules are going to be or a lot of other things. What he does know is that, you know, for the last 2 years, people have been complaining about the NFL. The NFL ratings have been going down due to, you know, a lot of different reasons. And he thinks that the time is right to really capitalize on those reasons and try to bring people over to a new league.
Why does he think it'll be a success this time when it lasted only one season back in 2001?
You know, I think he thinks that it would have been a success last time if he had stuck with it. He had to be talked into actually folding it. He was like the one person that really wanted to continue going with it. And NBC, who was his partner at the time, said, like, no, you know, we're tired of losing money. We're pulling out. So we have to fold it. This time, he's not taking in any other investors, so it's all him. Mm. And so he feels like, you know, he can pound through some of the he can lose a little bit of money, but he can pound through, and if he sticks with it and lasts with it, then it'll be all right.
But I have to tell you, and I don't know if you saw, I probably didn't, but I tweeted about, if I was to do this league, right, I would take the complete opposite approach that he's taken, right? This would be the redemption league. Cap would have been at my press conference. I would have promised that I would have RG3, Johnny Manziel, anybody on a drug suspension, anybody with any interest, college superstars that have flamed out. I would have gone that route, right? Because I think the way to succeed in this is with, you need PR, you need notoriety, we need name recognition. We're not going to root for a bunch of faceless donks. Instead, he did a presser where I found literally no compelling reason to watch this product.
He's dying for Tim Tebow to step up. That would be nirvana for them. I would bet, like, he said he wants nobody with arrest records or convictions. I'm pretty certain when push comes to shove, yeah, Johnny Manziel's going to be in this league. You know, he'll at some point say, like, well, domestic violence is different than a misdemeanor, so we'll let him in. So I don't feel that that's a hard and fast rule. But I think that he is doing some things that I really do like. I mean, the idea of, you know, 2 hour games, you know, you don't have to sit through a 3.5 hour game with the XFL. I think that's pretty cool.
But why would I sit through 5 minutes of it, let alone 2 hours? You know what I mean?
That's a good point. They're trying to set this up like the NBA G League or, you know, this is almost like a developmental league for the NFL. They're not trying to go against the NFL. And if you're in a market though, like St. Louis or Oakland or San Diego, you know, which had NFL teams taken away from you, or if you're in a market like Orlando that doesn't have an NFL team, I mean, I think I could see people trying to support this.
Mm-hmm. How old is Vince McMahon now?
Oh, God, that's a good question. What is he, late 60s?
I think
early
he might
70s?
Be like 71. I'll look it up.
He's around there.
Because I don't follow wrestling, but it seems to me he was more involved in it years ago.
72.
I think he definitely was a little bit more involved with it on air a couple of years ago. But I can tell you, like, you know, I've been to his office. He's, you know, he has meetings every day, that, you know, all the way through. He's as active, really, as he's ever been behind the scenes. He's just not on camera as much anymore.
So he's putting all of his money in it. All the funding is going to be his. When will it launch?
So it's going to launch after the Super Bowl in 2020. One of the things that he sees, like 100 million people watching the Super Bowl every year, and then as soon as the Super Bowl ends, they have no place to go. And so he's hoping to sort of draft off that and have a league that comes right after it.
Hey, John, I don't know how much you...
You guys sound skeptical, I got to say.
Yes. Well, I don't see a compelling reason for it.
Well, the way, and I said this earlier, John, I don't really care what happens in the world in 2 years. I'm going day by day.
Day by day.
2020, I don't even know if I'm going to be alive in 2020.
There's some truth to that.
But you're right, I'm not interested in a new XFL league, no doubt.
Why?
Well, I think the big problem is going to be, like, the play is not going to be as good. And I think that you can take a look at MLS, which can't even beat, you know, the English Premier League in terms of ratings. I mean, people in America want to see the best football. They want to see the best soccer. And I think if you come out with a product that's not going to be the best, you can find a niche. But I find it hard to think that this is going to be a mass media success.
Hmm. What are we guessing, just transitioning over to the Super Bowl here, what are we guessing the national interest is in this game? I guess this is the best-case scenario for them, I guess, short of Minnesota. I think that would have played well.
No, the Patriots are a national team. They have known stars that people, casual fans, know and have been watching. I think that this is a much better-case scenario than if Jacksonville obviously had done it, but if you view the NFL season like a TV series, you know, the ratings have been off about double digits the whole season. They've been off like high single digits in the playoffs. They're probably going to be down in the Super Bowl like 5% or so, even with a good game, I would expect.
This is a random question. How does college lacrosse on ESPN do?
You know, not great. You'd be surprised. The women's softball World Series kills the lacrosse tournament and the lacrosse championship.
It's more national. I mean, lacrosse is still regional, even though it's spreading out west. It's still at its core more regional.
Yeah, I paid attention because Maryland was in the final. Maryland the last year, and I think it was just under like 300,000 viewers. It wasn't a lot. It was it was actually kind of depressing.
Yeah.
Didn't Maryland win men and women's?
Yes.
Yeah. Double. Yeah.
Yeah. How did? And I think Carolina did it the year before. I think they did the double, right?
Right.
Because we played them in the finals.
And they beat Maryland, in both games the year before.
Yeah, it was sucked. All right. What was my next question? How are the Wiz and Caps doing ratings wise?
Yeah, I haven't checked in a while. The Wiz started great, and I think they were doing well. I'm wondering if their recent play has dented into that a little bit. And the Capitals just, you know, they're consistently pretty good. So I think that they're up low single digits. But the Wizards started; they were up like double digits. They were huge, and part of that is Wall and Beal and the real. They don't play a defensive game; they play a up and down the court fun game to watch. So the ratings are following suit.
Right. All right, well, they're giving us the break sign.
Right,
Thank you, John.
Have a good weekend.
When did DeMatha and Gonzaga play again?
You know, I think it's in like a week and a half or so. It's going to be at Gonzaga.
Got to be at Gonzaga.
Be a good one to go to.
Yeah, because I was at the home game.
And then
game.
DeMatha plays at Paul the Sixth February 16th. That's a game I'm going to go to.
Yeah, they're all
yeah,
so
Paul
good.
Paul handed it to Gonzaga.
Paul the Sixth is really good.
Yeah, they handed it to DeMatha, too. They're all really, really good. It's an amazing conference. All right, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
By the way, last I checked, Eleanor Roosevelt's in the top 10.
Very nice. We'll take
public
that.
School.
We'll take top 10.
That's locally, not nationally.
No.
Yeah. Washington Post.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think good old tiny St. Andrews was in the top 20 for 4 weeks straight.
I saw them at number 20.
Were they still in? This would be five
last
weeks
time
straight.
I checked.
Yeah, I think it was 4 weeks straight.
I remember looking at it and I was like, wow, Eleanor Roosevelt, I think, was number 9.
Yeah.
You know, and the usual suspects in the top 5 and 10. And I was like, oh, my old school in the top 10. And then I saw St. Andrews. I think it was the week they were playing Murray. So that might be a few weeks back.
Yeah, they did beat Murray. That was the game I was racing.
Because it always says next game.
That's the game I got the ticket to.
Right.
I didn't get the ticket, actually.
Right, you dodged the bullet.
I got pulled over
right.
And charmed my way out.
Yes. Used your charisma.
Which is typical for me. Charming guy.
What's smirking over there?
Hey. You're allowed to smirk.
Did you notice it? You didn't do the entertainment page,
no,
right?
No. I'll do it when we come back.
All right, let's do some EP when we come back here on The Junkies.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.